Welcome to the So What Are You Reading podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie.
And I'm Alicia.
And today we are interviewing Tim McGregor.
That's so exciting.
I am so excited.
It all started from Instagram.
Yes.
It started the day I was born.
Right.
But it really started on Instagram.
The love of reading started way back.
You know what I mean?
Right. Tim McGregor is an author of a book series that I've read. Oh my God. It's 11 books. I literally just finished the 11th book yesterday.
Doesn't 12 come out soon?
No, he just released a new book called Wasps in the Ice Cream.
Oh, wait, no, okay, different series.
Yeah, there he started a new series. The new book's called Wasps in the Ice Cream, so we're going to hopefully talk about that as well.
Nice.
But I'm so excited.
I am too.
This book show series is so good. And he ended it so well. It was good.
Do you have, like, a general synopsis of The Wasp in the Ice Cream?
I don't.
Like, you have no context?
I have
for what
no
it's
idea
about.
What it's about.
Nice.
So, I'm excited. He's just a really good author. He does a lot of good world building.
Yeah.
He is a Canadian author.
Yes.
And the Spook Show series is set in Hamilton. I think it's Hamilton,
province?
Ontario. I could be wrong, though. I don't really know. Don't get me wrong.
Well, the only, like, two, three places I know of in Canada are Toronto, Ontario, all of Quebec, and Alberta.
We have another author coming on from Alberta, too.
See? In a couple shout of out weeks. To Alberta, yeah. Because mm-hmm. I know... I don't even know where that would be in Canada.
Me neither.
And I know it's there. I see you.
Yeah. But I'm excited. I'm so excited.
I'm super excited.
So, what are you currently reading?
I'm still working through my murder book.
A Flicker in the Dark,
yes.
By Stacey Willingham?
Yes.
What is happening? Oh, God.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
I don't know what's happening. I didn't read as much this week, but it's so dense, it doesn't even matter. Like, there's still the two girls missing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
My girl Chloe done found a whole, like, one of the first missing girl's necklace she found in her fiance's closet at their house.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I'm like, girl, he's the killer or whatever. Now, I don't know. I think the dynamic between, like, the older brother Cooper and the fiance is weird. They keep... Because maybe I'm just against the main character, but I feel like now that Chloe notices that something's wrong with her man, I no longer agree with her. I don't know. But I'm just like, maybe he's not that bad.
Maybe I was overreacting.
Well, now, yeah, right. Or at the very least, the thing that he's guilty of is not murder. Like, it's giving cheating. It's giving affair.
Right. But that doesn't mean he's a murderer.
It's also giving gay affair.
Uh-oh.
A little bit. Maybe that's just me projecting.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. All I'm saying is, I feel like now that we've turned in that direction and her sights are on him, I'm like, because I feel like she's always off base. I don't know why.
Right. She can't be trusted.
I just have, right. Mm-hmm. She's an unreliable narrator,
yeah,
I feel
uh-huh.
like. And I don't know why I feel that way yet. But I feel like I'm going to find out soon because
mm-hmm.
there's also something about her past that she hasn't told us, the
yeah.
reader.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of exploring that now. Something that happened in college.
Right.
And we're kind of getting into it. It's about some boy named Ethan. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened with Ethan, girl. What the fuck did you do to
what
Ethan?
What happened? What
you know?
Happened between you and
like,
Ethan?
Like, what the fuck? So I get those vibes. And, like, she's making the whole thing like, oh, I've adapted so well with all this trauma. Da, da, da. And it's like, I don't think you really have.
I don't think you've adapted
I don't
well.
Really think you have. I think you have some
issues. Is
that issues.
What you call that?
I think that you think you look normal and everybody around you kind of knows you're not good. But, like, you have all of the trappings of being well-adjusted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you do
but
weird things. Like, you're this close
mm-hmm.
to, like, full-on, like, grippy socks, padded room.
like, not being okay.
You know what I mean? Like, you're this close to not being allowed to wear a belt. So, yeah. But I really like the book. and I'm enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And I like that we're kind of figuring out the connections that she's having to these missing girls mm-hmm. also. Because that's, again, something that she didn't see. And then now she's, like, realizing it, thinking back. And it's like, I hope you're right. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all I'm going to say.
I hope you're right for your sake. Because you are crazy boots. So, yeah. Now tell me about The Long Walk.
Oh, yes. I finished The Long Walk. It is a really good book. So The Long Walk is, I found out that it's the first book that Stephen King ever wrote. When he wrote that book when he was 19.
Oh, wow.
And then he like didn't feel like it was a good book, so he put it away. And then, of course, he pulled it out, and then he wrote it in his Richard Bachman series.
Nice.
We talked about that in our
so we like put the idea him. Kind of away and then brought it back out mm-hmm. with his skill and was like, right. I'm ready
to put this out now. Yeah. So it was really good. And so The Long Walk was about Ray Garrity. Mm-hmm. It's about 100 boys that go on this takes place during this like dystopian America.
What year is it? Do they say?
They don't say. And that's one thing about the book, because he doesn't really go into detail about like what happened, why they're in this dystopian future. Then mm-hmm. he doesn't really go into detail about anything really outside of The Long Walk. The book is really all about the that. Walk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that makes it weirder.
Right. And so it's the 100 boys, they walk, they've got to walk 4 miles per hour, and they have to keep up that pace for as long as they can. There's no end to the race. Mm-hmm. It's whoever can last the longest. So they start off in the border of the Canadian Maine border, of course, because Maine, Stephen King's okay. always in Maine. And they're walking like towards Massachusetts. And so they walk and you get 3 warnings if you go underneath 4 miles per hour, and then 30 seconds after your last warning, if you don't pick up the pace, you buy a ticket, and buying a ticket is getting shot mm-hmm. in the head. And so it's really like a psychological thriller. It really talks about like how the walk ends up and making really them make the boys go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It has the very, like I said before, the very much like the Lord of the Flies kind of deal. They kind of gang up on each other. They click up. You know, they get into groups. Ray, his little group, it's him, Abraham, and McFries. And they call themselves the Three Musketeers. And they just, everybody walks in their little groups, and you find out little stories about everybody else. And then it ends up just driving them all crazy. Scram, one of them, he ends up getting pneumonia and like he can't keep up the pace. And so they all make a deal that whoever wins the race is gonna give some money to his pregnant girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And so they end up just kind of learning everybody's story, but it's really a psychological thriller, like I said, about how it just ends up driving them all crazy. One of them, a baker, he ends up going nuts, and he's like, doesn't want them to kill him. He's like, I want to die on my own terms, and he rips out his own throat.
How?
With his hands.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's such a good book, and everyone dies in really very gruesome ways.
Rips out his own throat.
He climbs up on, because there's a truck following them, the soldiers, a truck full of soldiers that are following them that shoot them, you know, when they're not keeping up the right pace. And so he climbs up on the truck, and they end up shooting him, and his guts fall out. And he's like trying to walk while holding his guts, and then he falls down, and then they shoot him in the head.
So he's supposed to just not hold his guts.
Right. So it's just, it's
fucked up for that.
It's all about like how it's a spectator sport. It's on TV. There are people on the side of the roads, like watching, cheering it on. So it's very like how the Hunger Games kind of thing, how people watch and how they really try to get souvenirs for anything. Anytime they throw anything away, people are fighting over it to keep it as a souvenir.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the kids' parents are like, moms are on the side of the road, like, please just come back. and the police have to like hold them back. Mm-hmm. So it was a very good book. I really, really liked it. And you kind of, when you get to the, it's kind of like I was telling you, but in our text message, it's kind of like a make up your own kind of ending.
Yeah.
And kind of book, because someone does get to the end and win, but like he ends up being crazy. Mm. Like, so does he really?
Yeah.
Does he really win? Because, yeah, he, and they say in the book that people, the people that have won, because this has been going on for like 20 years at
yeah,
this point.
Of course.
Book.
No, because I'm saying like they would have to have had some kind of context and like
right.
desire to enter this thing.
Right.
You know, like it's, yeah.
And so
it's this like a rite of passage kind of.
This has been going on for 20 years. And they, and the people who have won it, they say like they die soon after.
Yeah.
And so
like
people,
lottery winners.
So,
yeah, like,
and then, so that's a big question too. It's like, why the hell would anybody want to sign up for something like this? And so, of course, a lot of it's for the money because they're in this dystopian.
Well, I think a lot of it depends on the culture too.
And
like,
then a
how
lot of
do they
it
talk
is for
about
the
this
glory?
Thing.
Because like, what Ray, he's from like a small town in Maine, mm-hmm. and when he got picked, he was like the center of attention. He was, you know, all over the news and everything. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was for the glory. A lot of it's for the money. Like the one kid, Scram, he had entered it because his girlfriend was pregnant and he wanted to win for the, you know, win for the money. So it's a really good book. I really liked it.
I would have just like turned to sex work or something.
But there's no way that I'm,
yeah.
I don't care how dystopian this future gets, I'm not signing up for nothing where
I'm
I
not
could
doing
possibly
it.
Get shot in the
end. I'm not doing it. Especially for some amorphous
no.
like prize. No.
Yeah.
No.
And so it was a very good book. I highly recommend reading that. That's The Long Walk by Stephen King.
Boom.
Yes. And then I finished reading Tim McGregor's The book, Spook Show, Book 11, Spiritualist and Medium. And it was really good. You find out, like, Billy's mom, she ended up having, like, a vision of her own death, which is so fucked up.
Mm.
So she, like, kind of knew that she was going to die. And Billy ended up finding her, she, like, kind of solves, she solves the case that her mom kind of started 30 years ago. This woman had went missing. One of her clients, and she went missing, and then Billy ends up finding her remains and finding out what really happened to her.
Really?
But it was really good. It was a really good book. And he tied it all back because she finds her remains end up being on someone's property that's like private property.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, they calling Billy a fake and a scam artist because she can talk to ghosts.
Right.
And then a lot of people from like past books, like her old people that she had helped, they come out
as
to
like
help
character
her.
Witnesses. Yeah,
uh-huh, yeah. Yeah. And come out and help her out. So that was really good.
Was she like gonna get in trouble for something? Like, what was the deal? Like,
no, she was just trying to find out what happened to this woman that,
oh, and so, like, just onlookers and people seeing that were following that case were
right.
like, oh, you brought in a medium,
yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, so they were just saying, like, she was,
I thought she got caught up in some shit.
She was the one who was looking for the lady, and she was like, they were like asking, how did you know? And she was like, it's because I have, you know, I just know. Because her mom was the town everyone knew that her mom was the town psychic 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there she was saying, she was a friend of my mom's. And they were like, oh, your mom, the psychic? Is that how you know about it? And
my
like,
girl.
It's a scam. But of course, the lady's body was, her bones were down in the,
mm-hmm.
in the well.
Sure enough.
But yes, it was really good. It was such a good series. I hope it's not over. He said at the end that it might not be over, so I hope it's not over. Please.
I hope it's not.
Never let it be
I
over.
I so feel that.
And then I also started reading one of this, like, those, like, quick murder mystery books.
Yes.
It's called Murder, Flip Flops and Murder.
Yes.
And
I've seen that. I have not read it.
Yeah. It's about this Ellie. She is, like, not the black sheep of her family, but, like, she's the bad sister. Not necessarily bad, but, like, her sister has her sister Karen has her life together, you know, perfect. They're English. She's from England.
Ooh.
Or she's
they wear
lives
flip-flops in England.
Well, she's lives in London. And, you know, her sister's got her whole life together, and she has a good job. I think she's a lawyer, I think she said, and she has two kids, you know, perfect life. Mm. And Ellie just has a temp job, and she's like, her parents are like, when are you going to get, like, a real job? Like, when are you going to get your life together?
God damn.
And
get off me.
Right? So Ellie's...
I have a real job. It's just temporary.
She has an aunt named Aunt Olive, and she got married to an American guy who was very rich, and she went off with him, and she lives in Florida.
Nice.
And
go to your auntie's house.
And yeah, so the aunt is telling her she's staying at this resort in Florida for a writer's conference. Mm. And she wants, and she's going to stay for a couple of months.
You know
and
how
she
those
wants
writers
Ellie
be.
To come and stay with her for the holidays.
No.
Is it for the holidays? I think it's for the holidays. Yeah, for Christmas and New Year, she wants her
oh,
to stay.
She's doing the snowbird thing.
Right. So she's like, come stay in my resort. So Ellie's like, hell yeah, I'm about to go.
What could go wrong?
I'm about to go. So in,
I'll pack my
bag. That's literally right where I'm at. I'm only on chapter two of that book. But in the synopsis, it
says... Now you know that auntie gonna die.
Right. Well, listen. In the synopsis, it says she goes there. There is a murder that happens, but then her aunt goes missing. Like, so everyone's saying that it's her aunt.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because her aunt is also a writer. I forgot that part.
See,
her
and you know aunt, how those writers be.
Her aunt, they were, she, like, after her husband passed away, she decided she wanted to be a writer. And then, of course, she started writing, and her books became a real big hit.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's why she's at the writer's conference.
And let me guess.
So
if she's not the victim, it's mm-hmm. going to be her arch nemesis, right. That is. Her writing rival
right.
is going to be the bitch that croaks.
Right.
And they're going to be like, oh, my God, it was Olive.
Oh, my God.
And Olive done disappeared. But Olive is just, like,
right.
being held captive probably by the real killer. And, like, right. the real killer
right. so,
is somebody unexpected.
It's definitely, so Olive's definitely not going to be the killer.
Unless she is somehow the killer. Like, they're going to do some wild ass shit.
Right. So I'm excited to read it. It's a quick
too.
Read. It's only 177 pages I got on my Kindle.
Yeah, hurry up.
So I'm excited to read it.
I need to hear more about it.
Yeah. So I'm excited. So she was like,
I'm just going to read it over your shoulder.
I'm just going to go to this conference and it's going to be fun.
It's going
to
be so Murder. Great. It's going to be so great. Nothing could go wrong. Nothing is going to ruin this perfect weekend.
Yeah.
That's what they
it's
always
gonna
say.
It's going to be the perfect holiday.
No, literally. This was so convenient for me to do this thing outside of my normal routine.
Right.
What could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong? And then not only is it a murder, then your aunt goes missing too. And you're like, all right, now. That's enough.
Because I don't know where she keeps her sugar. And I'm in this lady house. And I don't know anything about
right.
this place. Girl, you need to come home.
You need to hurry up and get out of there.
Because what is the Wi-Fi password?
Right. So I'm excited to read that book.
It's going to be good.
And then, of course, I'm still reading Under the Dome.
Under the Dome.
Yes. Have you gotten any along in it any further?
Maybe like a couple pages, but honestly, no, not this week.
No.
It's been all about that other book.
Mm-hmm, I didn't really read too much. And I'm just up to... Day of Barbie, he's figured out, like, there ain't no cracks in the dome.
Yes.
He went around the whole perimeter and was like, nah, it's in here.
And everybody's treating him like, oh, come on, like, you...
And
what do you know about it? It's like, I walked the whole thing, bro.
Now, like, it's on national news now. Anderson Cooper is out. I like how he put Anderson Cooper in the book.
Everybody puts Anderson Cooper mm-hmm. in their shit. Like, he's the one thing tying this
so
up. Like,
funny.
He be in Marvel movies. Like,
right.
He's the one tying this shit all mm-hmm. together.
So I think that was funny. He put Anderson Cooper in the book. And so, like, now it's on national news. Like, everybody knows the dome is shut down over this
Period.
Chester's Mill town in Maine.
I keep
Chester's
going back
Mill,
to
Maine.
That map, too, because mm-hmm. I'm just like, because he's really right. going in depth with the directions and the streets and shit. I'm like,
yes.
I don't fucking know.
So.
Thank God for that map.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Stephen King.
So we're going to see... I'm excited to read this book because it's going to be all about...
It's going to get so crazy.
You
see how thick that shit is?
First of all, it's really thick, so you know a lot of shit's going to go down in it,
number
one.
You're going to fall in love with so many people that are going to fucking
die. That are
going to die.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to have intimate knowledge of these people.
You already know that old girl from the diner is going to die. Rose?
Yes.
Yes, because him and Rose just click too much. He loves her too much. He doesn't like
too much of the girl next door.
It's more like, yeah. It's more, and not like, not really so much girl next door, but like more of like a sister love. Like they were, she was like, when he had walked back in, walked back into the restaurant, he was like, oh my God, she was like, I'm so happy that you came back. I'm so happy to see you. And then like, he jumped right back in. So I already can tell she's not going to make it. She's too nice. You already know it.
I hope she does. I like when the nice girls like snap.
We'll see. Like, but we'll see. You never know. Right. She could do that too.
I want her to do some crazy
shit. She might turn into a real psycho bitch. Because I really don't remember reading
this
book.
And I want that for her. Because people would be like, oh my God, she's so crazy. I'm like, she's surviving.
Yeah. Do you know what happened under this damn dome?
She's surviving, bro.
Because you know, anytime it's some type of disaster thing and people are trying to like either come together or try to figure something out, someone's always got to be in charge. And then they start making up crazy, crazy rules that people in order to make it, you know, in order for people to survive.
Like
they're always,
like,
you know,
it's gonna help.
As soon as you step out of line, you get shot. Some, you know, all kinds of crazy.
You gotta go. Mm-hmm. If you try to leave a place,
right,
because you know their location and you know where their resources are, they will end you.
Right. So you already know. And I can see, of course,
it's going to get real apocalyptic in here.
It's very about to get very much like that. Because once everyone's got their little generators on now, because, you know, all the power's been cut and everything. But once them generators start shutting down, shit's about to get real.
Mm-hmm. As soon as y'all stop taking baths, I know me personally, I'm going crazy. Like,
and
as soon as it starts
like,
smelling crazy in
the
here.
The dome is like in the
vacuum
ground.
Vacuum sealed.
Yeah, like the water is not coming back. Even water, they like were walking by the creek and stuff, and like even water ain't coming back and forth. So like the dome is there.
No, bro. This like a sandwich bag.
Yeah.
Bro. It's finna smell real gross in
Yes,
here.
It's about to get crazy in there. And so,
and the first
knows?
Thing they start doing is not showering. That's my thing.
Yeah.
Because everybody's all stressed out. And you got stress, sweat, and stuff. Gross.
And there's already like a bunch of dead bodies.
Ugh.
So,
ugh.
Now, who knows what's going to happen with that?
Mm-mm. I don't want to know.
And it's like a farm town, all the animals and whatnot.
Yeah. Oh no.
So we will see. Thank God it's not. This is another one where I'm like, I'm not. Just end me.
Just, you know what I mean?
Just
I want to be one of the people that got split by the dog.
Yeah.
I want to get split by the dog.
Right. Because I don't want to have to deal with this.
This is ridiculous. Or like one of the people trapped outside the dome.
Yeah.
Like I watched the dome come down. I'm like, oh
like,
no.
Like guy from right in the
My
beginning.
House is in there.
Yeah, Gendron.
Yes,
I want to be him. He was on the outside. He's
or
on the outside.
That young girl Barbie, which was trying to hail down.
Yeah,
that got
right.
Out.
Who got out right at the end? Yeah,
me. I was just coming out to go to Starbucks.
Right,
and now I'm stuck.
Got in right out right at the end.
Damn it! I didn't grab my cart. I didn't grab my cart.
Do I got my ID?
I left my computer on.
Okay.
I left my my Type-C charger.
I was going to say, I think my flat iron's on.
No, oh, shit. Not the flat iron.
But, yeah.
And I don't have the cat.
Right.
Damn it.
Hope someone's going to feed that thing.
Kwan would have been stuck in the dome.
Oh, my. Yeah. Yes.
Kwan would have been stuck in the dome.
Yes.
I would have got out.
I might have been stuck in the dome.
Depending on what time of day it is, I, too, may have been stuck in the dome. But not yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I wouldn't have been stuck. I was gone all day.
So now that I'm done with those other two books, The Long Walk and the Tim McGregor book, I'm just reading Under the Dome for now, but I like to read two at a time.
Yeah.
So I'm reading that quick one, that murder mystery, but that's, again, that's only 177 pages, so I'll be done with that in no time. So I think I'm going to also read Salem's Lot.
I think you told me about that one.
Yeah. That's one's about
that was one of his early books. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm also going to read that too.
Cool. I have like 100 pages of A Flicker in the Dark, and then I'll find something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, while I read over, Under the Dome.
Yeah.
Because I need something to read while I'm at work.
Yeah.
That's, and like, on my Kindle.
Right.
And then I'll have Under the Dome at home.
Yeah, because Under the Dome is a huge book. It's not,
I'm
really
not
a
carrying
book
that.
That you
that's
can
embarrassing
carry around. Yeah.
I'm not that much of a nerd. Like, I can't. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm not out.
It's physically heavy. Like, it's
I'm not out like that.
Yeah. It's a big book. I don't really care what other people think, but it's just,
you know, I look, there's only so much I can take. Okay.
So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to be interviewing Tim McGregor.
Yay.
Yes.
Before we get into too much, we wanted to take an opportunity to thank our sponsor, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery. The Anxious Tomato is more than a simple art gallery. Started by Ashley Laufer and Kate Roussel in their stride to connect with the local artistic community, the Anxious Tomato Art Gallery strives to provide more education and accessibility to art and artists in Tacoma and its surrounding areas. They aspire to be an experience for the public, ensuring that everyone leaves with a renewed view of art and the artists behind it. Their online presence allows for artists of various mediums to submit work, be recognized, and engage with the community. If you'd like to experience a new type of art gallery, support, engage, and donate to the Anxious Tomato at anxioustomato.com. That's anxioustomato.com. Thanks for listening. Now back to the show.
All right, everybody. We have Tim McGregor on the show today. Tim, if you just want to introduce yourself to the audience.
Sure. My name is Tim McGregor. I'm an author in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I write primarily paranormal stuff. And I guess I have one series called The Spook Show that's gone on for like 11 books, which still kind of amazes me that it went that long. And now I'm got to meet you guys. So thanks for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
We're so glad to have you.
Yes, I love the Spook Show series. Yes. I've read all 11 books. It's been such a wild ride. They're so good.
Thank you. Thanks for reading the whole series. Like, 11 books is a lot. So thank you for the commitment. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome. It was such a good story. What gave you the idea to come up with something with a story like that? Where'd you get Billy from?
I've been a horror fan my entire life. Anything spooky, anything ghostly, I've always been crazy for. The idea for the Spook Show actually came out of a TV show that I used to watch. It was one of those paranormal reality shows where it was a medium and a cop, and the medium would kind of walk through a house and she would talk about what she senses, and the cop would investigate. He'd talk to the family who's experiencing the haunting, and then he would investigate the history of the house, and they would come together at the end and both explain their findings, and they would kind of match up, like somebody owned the house and they died, blah, blah, blah. That's really what the initial idea came from, which explains why Billy, in my series, the medium hooks up with a cop, and the two of them kind of, you know, not fight crime, but like encounter ghostly stuff,
right,
but also
yes,
you know, solve cold cases and stuff. It was an idea. I wanted something that could maybe, as a series, have its own little engine that could keep going, like a sort of ghost of the week kind of idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. And
it, like I said, I'd originally thought maybe 4 books when I started off, because I had that first initial arc of an idea planned out. And I just kind of fell in love with the characters. And in a way, writing a series is a bit easier because everything's already established. I don't have to do any new world building or introduce characters. I guess it's like writing for TV. You know, you've already got your stuff established and you're kind of just going to bring everybody back. I don't have to build it from scratch with each new book. Mm-hmm. So, and they were like a hell of a lot of fun to write. I really loved writing ghosts and Billy, as flawed as she is. She's kind of me in a way, you know, her self-doubts and bad choices and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I totally get that. You can tell that it's something that you really enjoy writing. You never get, there's sometimes you can read a book and you can tell when the author like just wants the book to end. They just like wrap up the story really quick, but you never get that in your books. You could every, it's always till the very end. You're always guessing to the last second, which I really like.
Yeah. And you mentioned that kind of like writing for TV kind of feel. It's really good because you can get into the nitty gritty of the characters if you don't have to rebuild them every time and then start from scratch at the beginning of a new book. You can really focus on the plot that way. It gets really deep. I like that.
Yeah, that's very true. There's lots of room for not just the main characters, but some of the subordinate secondary characters kind of, you know, build more character and have their own little mini stories as well, which, you know, bump up against the main story and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
It's really cool.
So we always like to ask before we get started, what's a good food in your area? What's your go-to? If we came to your area, what would you have us, we had to try?
You know, I live in what used to be called Little Portugal because it was mostly a Portuguese neighborhood.
Mm.
And they make these things called, and there's like three or four bakeries around. They're little fish cakes. They're made out of cod. They're kind of deep fried, breaded and deep fried, and they're pretty good as a snack, just sort of a, you know, a working person's quick snack in between running here and there.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love a good travel food.
That's like the first like on the go food I think I've heard. Everybody else has said pretty much like sit down.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. There's lots of, you can get, I guess like every city in North America, you can get great tacos everywhere, which I love to
eat. Yes.
But, this one is, you know, particular to the neighborhood, which this used to be like a very sort of blue collar working class neighborhood. And then about 10 years ago, it became the hipster neighborhood. So there's like tons of really cool restaurants and, you know, hipster dive bars and stuff, which is great because my wife and I have boundless choices when we go out, but it does get a bit noisy and stuff. It's just interesting seeing the way the neighborhood is changing from like mom and pop place to now it's like, you know, hipster.
Trendier.
A bunch of children running around.
Yeah, children who don't look up because they're always walking. Like,
that's funny.
Personally, no, it's not me.
There's an awful lot of man buns in my area.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That's what gets me is the man buns.
Yeah, I refer to it as the urban samurai.
Yeah.
They all have that. It's a very specific look. It's not just like men with long hair necessarily.
Yeah.
The man bun is its own thing. It's own personality.
So what initially got you into reading? Have you always been a reader from being a child?
Yeah. But I think what probably got me into it was comic books. I was crazy for comic books when I was a kid. Like superheroes and horror comics. And that's, I think, what probably really got me into reading. But also, again, it was horror, but I was crazy about, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein. So when I was a kid, they would have these sort of adapted versions of them that were age appropriate, you know, very short, but it was like classic Dracula story meant for like a 8-year-old reader and stuff.
Right.
And I think that's really what got me into reading was, you know, horror and monsters and stuff. And then it just kind of grew from there.
Nice.
How about you guys? How did you guys get into reading? Let me just spin the interview back.
You go first.
I grew up in a really small town, so there wasn't really much to do. reading was always something you could like. In Connecticut, I grew up in Connecticut, so it's cold most of the year.
Right.
So reading was always like you could go anywhere when you're reading a book. And that was always my go-to. You go to the library because we didn't have much money and you could get like a bunch of books. As long as you can, my grandma would say, get as many as you can remember to bring back to the library so they don't have to pay for when you lose them.
Yep.
Right.
So I've always, that was my go-to thing to do. What about you?
Mine was more of the comic book manga type thing.
Right.
we had like one big family computer, so I couldn't really watch the shows that I wanted to watch. And so like going to the library was one of those things. My dad would make us write book reports during the summer. Even though he was playing video games, he would like read our book reports and then like give them back and make us go to the library, especially when we got a little bit older. So that was a kind of way I felt like I was getting away with something because these were still picture books at the end of the day, but they were thick enough that I could, you know, sell it. So
sure.
And then I,
That's wild that your dad made you do book reports.
Huh? Yeah. Like, I mean, during the summertime, like if we were staying home, let's say we weren't in camp or something like that, we had to do stuff throughout the day. And so if we were like, we're bored, we want to go to the library, figure it out. And then he'd think we were just fooling around. So he'd be like, you know, I want a summary on this. I want to know about this book.
What were you actually doing? Were you actually reading this
book? This is going
book?
In the tell-all, now that I think about it. This is one of those things going in my tell-all book.
That's such a dad move, too, right?
Very. Very hands-off with it. And you'd read it, and you'd be like, okay, great.
Yeah, whatever.
And I'd get nothing for it.
So what kinds of media do you read when you're reading your book? Or do you are a regular analog book reader? Or do you do... Are you a Kindle reader?
Ooh, yeah.
Or an audiobooks?
I'll do both. I'm not really big into audiobooks. I love podcasts, but audiobooks I don't often listen to.
I'm the same.
It's usually just, I prefer a paperback to anything else, but I read on my Kindle a lot, which just for convenience's sake, especially for traveling and stuff. And I've been reading a lot of friends' books. Like I have other author friends, and we kind of trade books to give feedback on. So it's super convenient for that. But given my choice, I love a good paperback. You know, I've got the house is filling up with them.
Yeah,
I just want more.
It's bad.
Yeah, they're like chips. Once you have one, you got to have a bunch.
And then I have my Kindle library too, so that feels like it doesn't count. Yeah,
that's right. It really doesn't feel like when the books aren't looking at you, especially when you come with brand new books and you look at your stack of unread.
Yeah.
You don't feel the same sort of guilt.
Yeah, I definitely.
I'm all about avoiding that guilt.
Yeah.
Trying to get rid of that.
There's enough guilt in the world. We don't need it from our books.
Really don't. Don't look at me like that.
So where is your go-to place to buy books when you're going to look for a book?
You know what? My favorite place, I'm totally spoiled. A new bookstore opened up about four blocks from me in the spring called Little Ghosts. And it's all horror.
Oh, nice.
There's some fantasy, but it's mostly horror. It's mostly independent publishers. It's not all the big five. Like, I don't think they even carry any Stephen King and Dean Koontz. It's all indie presses. And it is the best place ever. I love hanging out there. The owner, Chris, is amazing. I've done two book signings there.
Oh, nice.
That's so cool.
They've got a cafe. They've got a patio thing in the back with like one of those 12-foot tall skeletons.
Yes.
They've got a whole wall of like Goosebumps, which it's an amazing thing.
It's a whole vibe there.
It's a vibe there.
Yeah. It's a great place just to hang out. And I'm spending so much money there. I'm kind of limited, like one visit a week. That's all you get.
That's how I feel every time I go to half-priced books. I'm like, I say I'm going to just buy a few books, but
they're half price.
10 books later, then I'm like, all right, that's enough.
Like, I have to leave.
I've got to get out of here.
I'm bad with the online sales, eBay, Facebook Marketplace.
That's the thing with online. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just saying that the online thing is bad too because it's so easy, right? Just one click.
Yes.
And a lot of times I made a rule myself a couple years ago. It was like, don't buy anything after 10 p.m. My usual routine is like I write early in the morning and then I write at night. But at night, it's a bit chiller, and I'll have a couple beers and listen to some music. But I've ended up making some bad purchases online just because it's so easy to do. So I've got this sort of sticker above my desk saying, don't buy anything after 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And I'm really bad. Like, I'll have multiple apps up. So I'll be watching something, and someone will mention a book, and immediately it's, like, in my cart. And I don't even know how it got there.
Yeah.
It happened so quickly. I don't know how it got there.
I really don't.
Put that there.
Right.
And my carts are big. Like, yes. So then when I check out, it's like, this wall of things.
I've completely forgot I even had this in there.
Like, I just bought a tea kettle. I don't know.
So what do you like to read? Do you read spooky stuff as well, like the same way that you write? What's your go-to genre of book?
Yeah, horror has always been a love of mine, but I also read literary stuff. Mm. I'm not genre specific. I tend not to read too much fantasy or science fiction, but, you know, if something's good or I hear enough stuff about it, I'll give it a try. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll read YA if I've heard it's good.
Yes.
And I like to read a lot of nonfiction as well. It's like sort of break up the fiction with a good, juicy, you know, biography or something about history. I recently just read this amazing, it was a dual biography of Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein, and her mother.
Oh,
Mary
nice.
Wow.
Who was, I think she wrote the first feminist piece in English literature. The two biographies, they kind of followed both of them along in age-wise. And I don't know, it was a fascinating read. Like
Mary Shelley had such a crazy life on her own.
Yes.
My God, that woman was just surrounded by death.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, just dropping like flies around her.
Yeah, her babies, her husbands. Her mother dies in childbirth because the doctor didn't wash his bloody hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a good one. It was a big honker of a book, and I was worried it would be a bit dry and academic, but it read like a thriller. I'll probably read it again. But
what was the name of that book?
Romantic Outlaws. I got it. Romantic Outlaws by Charlotte Gordon.
Ooh.
So it's a thick one, yeah. But so good. Like Mary Wollstonecraft, Mary Shelley's mom, she's this sort of radical thinker. And during the height of the French Revolution, she goes to Paris, where it's just dangerous because they're guillotining everybody.
Like, right.
She's there when they guillotine the king, Louis the 16th, I think. But just like a wild woman. It's crazy. It was so cool.
Ooh, it sounds like a really good book.
Yeah, I really enjoyed
it. I didn't even know about her mom, honestly.
No, I know her mom was crazy, too.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a lot, very brave. I wouldn't say crazy. Very brave.
Yeah.
Very brave women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wild sauce. Because she was into that, right? She was a revolutionary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very ideas. So when the French people finally had enough and rose up against the aristocracy, she was all for it. But to actually go there, like, she's there when they guillotine the guy, and it would have been dangerous, or it was dangerous for anyone from England would have been thought of as a spy. So she was kind of running the risk all the whole time she was there. And then she meets this guy, she gets pregnant and has a kid. Like, whoa.
Just out there.
Yes.
Honestly, me, I'm that nosy.
I want to find out what's going on.
No, literally. I would have traversed very dangerous situations to get the business.
So do you have a favorite author?
Yes, that's what I want to know.
I have a hard time picking one because my moods change so much. I've always been this might sound cliche, especially coming from a dude, but I'm a huge fan of Cormac McCarthy, who wrote The Road and No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. Okay.
He wrote a Western called Blood Meridian, which is one of my favorite books because it's phenomenal. It's a brutal read. It's one of the scariest books I've read just because it's about Western expansion and this group of scalp hunters. So it's brutal, but the writing in it is, I don't know, I've probably read it a dozen times because it blows me away. But currently, I started reading, I came prepared with some books. Atessa Moshfegh, this is her latest called Lapvona, which is it's a medieval story about stupid, selfish people, and it's just cruel. And it's one of the best things I've read in a long time.
I think I just have
weird tastes.
Well, yeah, but those really, like you said, brutal reads like that. It's like, oh God, it's like that car accident you can't look away from. And especially if they're well written, I'm interested in that.
Especially when you know that they're true and you're like, oh my God, what like was
this,
wrong
and not
with
even
people?
Necessarily like true exactly, but like this would have happened. This would have been how this played out during this time frame. Yes.
Those are always really good.
Yeah. Stories about the Western expansion and like heading out to the frontier was always crazy to me.
Yes. I read this book, The Different Stars Above.
Yes.
Oh, that was about the Donner Party and just that whole, number one, the thought of people that were like, I'm just going to walk to California. And when you're like, okay, we're just going to pack up everything we own in this
and we're going to take it with us.
And we're just going to walk there. It just seems so crazy to me. And they had like hundreds of people who were, everybody was like, yep, that sounds like a good idea. Like everybody, let's go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went through so much. It was crazy. Especially once things started going downhill and oh my God, they woke up.
Because they
like
don't know where they're going,
5 feet
really.
Of snow outside and nobody really had any winter clothes. And there was a bunch of children. Oh my God, it was such a crazy story.
It's brutal what people went through to, I don't know, find a new life or find a new life.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was a really
And I always wonder how I would react in those situations. Like, I feel like in most times with things like that, I would have been one of those doubters. Like, y'all, look, I'm not going on that first trip. When a couple more batches of people go and we hear back, then
once
I'll
I know
go.
That the road's really clear, then I'll
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah.
You've really found the way. Then
I
would have
been
go.
Late.
Yeah.
I would have been a little late.
Yeah.
So what?
I was just going to say, I often wonder the same thing. Like, what would I do in that situation or how would I fare? I'm pretty sure I'd be like, you know, the dumb guy in a zombie movie who gets killed first. I think I'd be.
Yeah.
One of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I would be patient zero. Like, I'm the one that let y'all know this is the zombie apocalypse. Yeah. I'm the first one.
Mm-hmm. So what draws you to a particular story when you're looking for a book?
It's either a really good premise, like I read the blurb on the back and it's something that just kind of pops, or it's the writing. Like I'm sure you guys do the same. You'll flip to the first page and just to sample what the writing's like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's immediate. You can tell by the first couple of sentences, this is well written.
This is going to be a good book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did that with, a friend of mine gave me that book. I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Mm-hmm.
Ian Reed.
Yeah.
I had never heard of it at the time. And something weird happened because I just flipped to the, I did the same thing. I just flipped to the first page to see what the writing was like. And then before I knew it, I got to the end of the chapter and I was kind of like, how the hell did he do that? I just got sucked into this thing so well. Even though by the end, I didn't quite like the book. But that first chapter, I was like, I aspire to be like this guy because. That was magic, the way he just pulled me in. And before I even knew it, I got to the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I felt the same way. I think that's a movie now on Netflix. You should watch it.
Yeah. I haven't watched it. Have you guys?
No.
I watched it after I read the book. My husband actually found the movie on Netflix and we watched it. And, like, I thought maybe I would like it more if I saw it because I felt like maybe I wasn't visualizing things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I oftentimes think that. I'm like, my interpretation is just wrong. So, sorry. But the movie, too, I was like, okay, yeah, no. I don't know. I like it because I don't like it, I think.
Right, right.
Like, I feel like it goes over my head a little bit.
The ending got really confused, and I have to admit, spoiler alert to anybody who's not read it, but I don't like stories where it ends up being in the character's head.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not to knock the author or anybody, but it's kind of a cheat, I think. I feel a bit cheated. It's kind of like the end of Fight Club.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You're like, it's him the whole time. This is some real bullshit.
Him fighting his demons.
Yeah.
And they're winning.
Because when you do that, you can literally have anything happen.
Right.
You could have like a family having breakfast and a dinosaur eats one of them. And as a reader, you'd be going, what is going on?
And you need an explanation. But like if it's in their brain, you don't have to provide us any of that.
Mm-hmm.
None of those breadcrumbs we picked up matter. It's like,
exactly,
oh, right? Okay.
There's like an inherent promise with a story that no matter how crazy it gets, it's all going to somehow come together or make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to kind of do that trick, it's kind of like pulling the rug out from somebody and it leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, right. And I've only seen it done well a few times. So, like, when there's, like, really heavy grief involved, maybe, and, like, you know, someone might be talking to their dead sister for the entirety of a book. It may not be central to the story, but it's, like, one element of it. Right. I like it then. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, yep. So you're an unreliable narrator. You're a little, sure. You know. That makes sense later on with different parts of the plot. But if that's the thing.
That makes sense a lot. It's kind of like the ending to The Sixth Sense, right?
Yeah.
It's not the same thing. It suddenly puts everything into a different perspective. And you kind of go, oh.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I like it then. But.
So that kind of piggybacks off our other next question. What kind of turns you off from a story when it comes to reading? What makes you not want to finish a book?
Ooh, yeah.
I guess bad writing is kind of too general a term, but I don't like overly described things or really flowery language.
Yes, we get it. The room is blue. We don't need you to beat it to death.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like nice, concise writing. And I absolutely adore a good, unreliable narrator. I love a narrator who you know is a little...
Yes.
You're like, that's not what happened.
I think my internal hater comes out. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Like, I don't believe you. I'm not buying it.
And it usually keeps you guessing till the very end because you're like, this person has no idea what they're talking
about.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you're right or not, but I feel like you're not. You can't be.
Yeah. There's always a good sense of suspense when you know that the narrator is a little unhinged and you're like, this is going to blow up on them in some way. Mm. You can't find out. But as for what turns me off, it's really just if it gets boring. That's all. Like, I can kind of put up with anything, but don't bore me. Like, which goes with overly describing stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need, you know, three paragraphs on what shade of blue the walls are. Just give me one or give me one sentence. Like, I can get it. Mm-hmm. So that's it. And in my writing, that's my number one rule is just don't be boring. Mm-hmm. Because that's the moment you're going to lose a reader, you know?
Right. So. Yeah. Just making sure that plot is continuously moving forward and we'll be okay. Yeah. Even if it's a little slower, just don't get lost. I think for me, it's like when their inner thoughts kind of take over a little too much. And like, it's not like if it's an anecdote and they're reminiscing about something, but then that takes three pages. And I'm like, girl, I thought we were in here to look through his phone. Like,
move on. Yes. Yes. I totally get to that.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
So do you have any favorite tropes or least favorite tropes when it comes to reading?
I don't know if I have any least favorites. I mean, I like a good meet cute, like the next person, you know, mm-hmm. two characters kind of crash into each other.
Yeah.
I guess the only trope, like I said, I don't like is when it's all a dream or... when it's in somebody's head.
Ooh, actually. All a dream is even worse.
Yeah, that's the worst.
That's like the ultimate cheat.
You better not wake up and it's normal. No.
That's like how it was with Twilight.
Hey, what they did.
No, how it was all a vision. And I was like, so he didn't get his head ripped off.
Okay, well, that wasn't in the book, Steph. You can't blame the books for that. They did that for the movie.
Yeah.
They just did that so that I would freak out because I had already prepped my parents for what would happen. And they looked at me like I was a liar in that theater.
Yeah, so. I don't like it's all a dream either. That's just not fair.
It was all a dream.
No, I feel like I've just wasted my time reading. You're like, none of this even happened.
I don't want to know about your dreams, Sam. Don't.
Very true.
I think overall, though, I found myself getting a little bored with, like, the hero narrative. I don't really watch superhero movies anymore, but even just in general, the idea of, like, you know, the lone wolf kind of guy who goes against the rules.
Yes. Yeah, the chosen anti-hero. One guy. Yeah. Yes. You're like,
the Sasuke character in Naruto, you guys.
You are the chosen guy. We get it.
Yeah, like, I've seen Star Wars, I've seen Matrix, a few others. I kind of don't want to go down that road anymore. I like characters that are messy and flawed and aren't heroic. You know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So... I don't know if it's maybe an age thing, just kind of growing out of it, but yeah,
Yeah, like, I want to see someone whose life's falling apart.
I think we're
like
all
mine.
Kind of simultaneously growing out of it, though. Mm-hmm. We just have a lot of stories with that. Because even those heroes were like, they're doing it begrudgingly. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, bro, I know you're going to do it. Hurry up.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't need any of that lip. I know you're going to do it.
Yeah, well, just do it and get it over
and you're going to win, too.
Yes.
You're not even going to fail.
Yeah. I guess movies are partly to blame. Like, I mean, that narrative works really well in film, but there are other stories to tell, you know, more complicated, more nuanced, less black and white stories. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, I'm just getting tired of that. So.
Yeah.
Nuance is good.
So what is your go-to book recommendation whenever you're anyone's looking for a book and you're like, you got to read this book. What's your go-to book recommendation?
The go-to would probably be two books for the same reason. One is True Grit, which is a Western. Mm. And the other is We Have Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson. Both of those have, the narrators have such strong voices. Like in one of them, you think she's crazy, but they're both so compelling. Like one is like sort of this stubborn little pill of a girl. And the other is this girl who's casting spells and stuff. But they both have such strong narrative voices and a real charm that it's one of those books that they're just a joy to read. I've read both of those a number of times. And I often just pick it up and dive into it when I just need something good to read. Because I can just dive in and they're something about the narrative voice in those books just carries me away and leaves me kind of stunned.
A good comfort book.
Yeah,
nice. I love that. I think that was a movie, True Grit, right?
Yeah, True Grit was made twice. Once in
that's what I thought.
John Wayne movie, which I never saw because I do not like John Wayne. But then the Coen brothers redid it a couple years ago with Jeff Bridges, I think. Which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I did see that one. It was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, but the book is even better because there you get the narrators, the girl's voice.
Okay.
And she's amazing. So.
Yeah. So what are you currently reading now?
Currently, I just finished reading a friend's book for a blurb, but it's not coming out yet. Lapvona is the only fiction that really blew me away recently. I'm sorry, I should have come better prepared because whenever anybody asks me what's a good book, I often just, my mind goes blank, like I've never read it.
I've read so many, no, same.
Every single time.
I have a hard time.
Uh-huh. What is with that? It's so embarrassing.
You're like, no, it is. I've read 1,000 books and now I know. I can't come up with any book to recommend to you.
And I wish I could just like let you into my brain so you could get all the books that I've read. Because they're all really good. Mm-hmm. If I finished them.
Yeah. My friend Catherine McCarthy, she's a wealth author. She had a book come out in 2021 called Immortel, which is just a novella, so it's a very short read. But that book I loved. It was sort of a spooky revenge story set on the Welsh coast.
Ooh.
And I love her writing, so that's a good recommendation.
I love a good revenge story. Yes.
Yeah.
Love a good revenge story.
Because I'm always like, what did they do to make you that mad?
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth it every time.
Yes, almost every time. You're like, well
you got to make it good. You got to make it good.
So can you give us a little bit, talk a little bit about your new book that you've got coming out, Wasps and the Ice Cream?
Sure. Wasp is a coming-of-age horror story. It's about a small-town kid who falls for the girl that everybody hates. So it's a bit like Normal People meets We Have Always Lived in the Castle, I suppose. It's set in the 80s, so a couple of people said it gave them Stranger Things vibes.
Nice.
Again, it has something of an unreliable narrator. I was pretty happy with how it turned out, and the reception for it has been really good. My publisher, Raw Dog Screaming Press, did a great job of sending out a bunch of advanced copies, and people have been posting them, pictures of them online and stuff. So it's been great. I've been totally thrilled with how it turned out.
Nice. I love that. I love when the character falls in love with somebody where they're like, don't do it. And they're like, I can't help it.
I already did it.
I can't help it. I've already fallen in love with her. So that sounds like a really good book. And is that out yet?
Yeah, it came out in February. So it's
perfect. And you have something else out, Lore, right? What's that about?
Lore is a, even though I said I don't read fantasy, this one is sort of dark fantasy. Mm-hmm. Kind of reads a bit like historical fiction, but it's the small fishing village on a remote coast and a mermaid shows up. but it's a kind of a killer mermaid. She's kind of like a god, and the locals, they try to hunt her down, and they just kind of mess with the wrong forces.
Is she like a siren?
Kind of, mm-hmm. But she's more of like just Jaws.
Okay.
In the water. The main character is the son of the local parson, and he kind of has some weird connection to her. But yeah, that's what it is. It's dark fantasy about a killer mermaid. But I had a lot of fun writing it, and the reception for that one's been pretty good too. So.
That sounds good. I love
it. I love it, especially if it reads like historical fiction too. Like, you guys, so don't do this.
Yeah, it actually started off as historical fiction, and then my editor said this might work better if we just make it dark fantasy, like a fantasy world.
Yeah, just go all the way.
Yeah, it's a bit more universal, even though it kind of reads a bit like, you can kind of tell it's very Nordic, you know, set on the North Sea, but. Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Right, I mean, who doesn't love a good killer mermaid, right?
Right.
Right.
And I love to read when people go to hunt something down and they're the ones getting killed. And you're like, well, that's what you get for going to hunt things down.
Should have just sat there.
And you should have just left it alone, your food. Right?
Yeah, classic, right?
Very good. So what is your social media on your Instagram and your Twitter?
Plug yourself.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm mostly on Twitter, even though it's become almost insufferable, that place. Elon Musk keeps screwing that I'm so mad at him.
Yeah.
But Tim McGregor 1 on Twitter and Tim McGregor 1 on Instagram, which I'm not on Instagram as much, but I try to, those are the two that I try to keep up with. I haven't even bothered going to TikTok.
No, that's what I tell. I'm like, I can't figure it out. I'm too old for TikTok.
You got this. Oh, man. I'm trying to send her TikToks.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us. I appreciate you so much for coming on here and taking out the time to talk with us today.
It was so great.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And like I said, thanks again for like reading all 11 books in the Spook Show series.
So good. You guys got to check those books out. I highly
recommend. She put me onto them, and she like just powered through them real quick.
Yes.
In a couple of months, I think. So,
So
that's like the highest compliment. So thank you.
You are very welcome. You have yourself a great night.
You guys too.
Bye.
Thank you.
Great talking to you. Bye.
That was amazing.
That was so cool.
Oh my God. That was like meeting my idol.
No, literally.
Seriously.
Literally. Oh,
he is such a nice person.
He's so sweet.
Oh, and he's 11 books, and that's just in the one series. Because he's written the Pale Wolf series. That's 3 books.
I do want to check out that Wasp and Ice Cream book.
Yes. Those the cool. 2 books, the new books that he mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And Lore.
Very good. Yeah.
And as soon as he said it and then described, I'm like, oh, that's the perfect title. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's what mermaids do, y'all.
Any
talk to anybody
mermaid,
from the Caribbean.
Down,
they will describe mermaids the same way. They're scary. Like, why are y'all fucking with it? Anyway.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Yes. That was so much fun.
That was very fun.
Oh, that was
good. I'm going to definitely check out that Labvona book.
Yes.
Anything set in medieval times.
I was just going to say medieval times is always good.
Because that shit is scary.
Yeah. And I'm always like, what was y'all thinking?
I knew when I used to, in college, I used to research a lot of like medieval history and stuff like that. And I do remember like a specific set of books that came out, not books, but like different texts that came out during the, right after the Black Plague or whatever, when they were trying to prevent like zombies rising, demon births. There was stuff about how to like cook children's flesh that came out during that time. It was a bunch of,
And you're like, this is too much.
Yeah. How you found out that it was oftentimes the priests that were spreading the plague around.
Right.
Because they were going around giving last rites to everybody and just spreading germs that way. anything. Like, it was just very scary.
Yeah, the people, they were not very smart in that. Well, not as far as the germs.
And like 400 years from now, when they read about us, they're going to be like, oh my God, that shit was scary.
You guys were so dumb.
You guys were taking Lyft and Uber rides?
Oh my God.
Scary.
With randoms?
Scary.
That was, yes. That's why I'll be getting in Lyfts and Ubers now. I'll drive. It's okay.
I will get in a Lyft or Uber. I will.
No.
I will.
Depends.
I'm a millennial. Yeah. I'll do it. But I got I keep that thing on me.
Right.
Also.
Also. Don't,
and my location is shared, no bitch. Games. And I'm a screamer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm a yeller.
Before we get out of here, I just want to say shout out to Peter Zacharias. His new book is coming out. I just shared on our Instagram.
Yes, 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 yes.
His book, The Man Trapped in Shadows, that's the book 2 in his Rooker Lindstrom series, is coming out. I just shared it on our Instagram. I can't remember. In 4 months, I said, I think his Instagram said T-minus 4 months, it'll be out.
Same author as The Man Burned by Winter, you guys. Yeah, Peter Zacharias.
So go check that out. Read that book. It was so good. It's a thriller book. The main character is Rooker. He is, people are killing people. Someone's killing people in the town that he's living in.
Mm-hmm.
And
he said, I'm going to find out.
I'm going to find out because they're like picking on me. And
they really tried it.
And I've had enough of this.
Yeah. I don't so look. Definitely. Now, is that my ministry?
Right.
No. But I support you.
No, I'm leaving town.
I'm an
if
ally.
If someone's killing people in dredging up my past, no, I'm literally just going to leave town.
Either that or I'm going to spill my own past and be like, look, you ain't finna spray me with my own tea. But y'all.
Gotta go.
I hope you find out who's doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good luck.
I hope y'all Millie, find out who's doing that.
I'll see you later. But yes, go check that book out. I can't wait to read the second book.
Yeah,
I'm
me
so
neither.
Excited.
I am also excited.
So before we get out of here, we just want to say head over to The Anxious Tomato.
Yes.
We've got Chris Bevins up this week. I keep saying Bevins. It's Bevin. I keep putting an S on the end. For some reason.
You do keep putting an S on the end.
I do.
Yes, check out Chris Bevin. It's amazing artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of body movement.
Yes.
Lots of figure.
He draws it, and I swear it looks like a photograph.
Well, it's giving Michelangelo, yes. Like the sculpting of the body. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know.
Yes.
Real ripply, real muscly.
And then we've got, if you're in the Tacoma area, we've got Robin McQuay up at Locust Cider on 6th Ave.
Nice.
So go chew some cider, take in her art. She has this really cool locker.
I do like cider now.
She's designed. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's for sale if you want to buy it and like display it up in your house. So,
ooh, a locker.
Yeah, it is really nice. So go check that out. And then don't forget to check us out. We're at the So What Are You Reading podcast on Instagram.
Yep.
And
also on our So What Are You Reading podcast private Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
You can contribute there. Give us book recommendations. You can check out our link tree.
Yes. So that you can come be a guest on the show.
Yes. And tell us about books.
Yes. And give us your book recommendations because we're always...
I'm definitely using them.
Yes.
So
I'd never have enough book recommendations. I never plan on finishing reading my TBR list. I'm going to be 107.
It's forever.
And still reading. I've got this one book.
Because my TBR list is long, you guys. Even just because I have a separate TBR list from just for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That thing is long.
Yeah. So.
That thing is long.
Keep them coming, guys. And we will talk to you guys next weekend.
Yep. Later.